ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अथाहम् अंश भागेन देवक्या पुत्रतां शुभे प्रपश्यामि त्वं यशोदायां नन्दपत्न्यां भविष्यसि।
ट्रांसलेशन प्रपोर्ट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। O all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as the son of Devaki. And you will appear as the daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Maharaj Nanda. Purport. The word Amsha Bhagena is important in this verse. In Bhagavad Gita 10.42, the Lord says,
Athava bahunaitena kim gnatena tava arjuna vishtabhyam idam krishnam ekam sena stito jagat.
But what need is there, Arjun, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Everything is situated as a part of the Supreme Lord's potency. In regard to the Lord Krishna's appearance in the womb of Devaki, Brahma played a part also, because on the bank of the milk ocean he requested the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. A part was also played by Baladev, the first expansion of Godhead. Similarly, Yogamaya, who appeared as a daughter of Mother Yashoda, also played a part. Thus, Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, and Shakti Tattva are all integrated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Krishna appears, he appears with all his integrated parts. As explained in previous verses, Yogamaya was requested to attract Sankarshan Baladev from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And this was a very heavy task for her. Yogamaya naturally could not see how it was possible for her to attract Sankarshan. Therefore, Krishna addressed her as Shubhe, auspicious, and said, "Be blessed, take power from me, and you will be able to do this. By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can do anything. For the Lord is present in everything, all things being his parts and parcels, Amsha Bhagena, and increasing or decreasing by his supreme will." Balaram was only 15 days older than Krishna. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya became the daughter of Mother Yashoda. But by the supreme will, she was not able to enjoy the parental love of her father and mother. Krishna, however, although not actually born from the womb of Mother Yashoda, enjoyed the parental love of Mother Yashoda and Nanda. By the blessings of Krishna, Yogamaya was able to achieve the reputation of being the daughter of Mother Yashoda, who also became famous by the blessings of Krishna. Yashoda means one who gives fame. O all auspicious Yogamaya, I shall then appear with my full six opulences as a son of Devaki, and you will appear as a daughter of Mother Yashoda, the queen of Nanda Maharaj. We can see here a lot of activity is going on here, unknown to the world externally. Krishna, more like the invisible person behind the screen, is up to something very, very powerful and important, which will change the face of the world forever. Externally, of course, we've been hearing about Kamsa's atrocities on the external platform, on the visible platform, to the naked eye. What appears is that demons are in full control. There is absolutely no way where personalities of the caliber of Bakasur, Kamsa, Trinavarta, etc. can ever be subdued. It looks like an impossible situation. It's not one or two of them, but the whole dozens and dozens of them all over, scattered on the globe. Each one so powerful. When we hear the pastimes of Krishna killing those demons, we get a glimpse of what was the nature of their power. Even one demon, maybe Arestasur or Keshi, if he charges into Bombay, what happens? It is a very opulent city with many skyscrapers and crores and crores and crores and millions and billions worth of business in this city is going on. Capital, commercial capital of the country. But if just one horse of the caliber of Keshi just strides in with the power he had, then everything is finished in minutes. And no machine guns, no missiles will ever work. Because demons, they were so powerful, the demigods were fearful. Demigods have something even more powerful than missiles. They have vajras, which are millions of times more powerful than our ordinary, you know, missiles. But they had given up on these people. So they had practically conquered all the demigods. You know, it may be a child's story to tell a sleeping child the story of Bakasur so that he gets a good sleep. And maybe hopefully dreams of Krishna in the night. But these are not children's stories. I mean, they are children's stories also. But there is far more to it than just that. When we hear about Bakasur, it looks like a duck, and a big duck and swallowing. So we think of duck, okay, a big duck, maybe a big duck, very big duck. But what was his power? From his previous life, he had earned such amount of benedictions that he was completely impervious to any attack of Yamapash also. Now, one of the most powerful personalities is Yamaraj, and he has his Yamapash, which is insurmountable. Yamapash failed. Shivash Pashupatastra failed. Agniastra of Agni personified failed. Indra's Vajra just absolutely failed. There is absolutely no way where a duck could be killed by Yamapash. What is the type of duck that was? So these are not ordinary people, and there's just two or three of them. We're just talking about them very briefly, but all of them put together, and imagine the power of their leader, Kamsa. Even he looks like a, you know, like a puny fellow, and Krishna just pulls him by his collar, throws him down and just punches him 3-4 times on his clavicle and he's finished. But it is not so easy. Krishna makes it appear like a joke. As if he is just a, you know, it's a joke, you know, just killing demons. It's just a funny pastime for him. But at the people who were actually at the time in this world, it was no jokes. Powerful kings were running here and there. We just read a few slokas ago that Vasudev, the king, powerful king, is not ordinary kshatriya, powerful. And all his queens were living incognito. I mean, even queens were incognito. They had to go here and there and just hide themselves in somebody, some ordinary Brijbasi's house and say, well, I don't know who she is, and she's just hiding there. The powerful Yadus were there. They all scattered here and there. Bhagavatam mentions how they went to the kingdom of the Panchalas, to the Videhas, and to the Vidarbhas, and they all ran here and there. So there was complete, absolute chaos going on at the time. So this is what is the front edge. This is what is really happening outside. And there is complete fear. Imagine living in an era of that type. We may get scared of one terrorist who shoots gun at a station, you know, and that's enough fearful for the whole city, right? Somebody with a gun is shooting just anybody and everybody on the station. That's enough to send the whole city and the whole country absolutely in fear. What, one machine gun? And everyone you fear next to you walking said, maybe he has a machine gun, maybe he has a machine gun. That was the type of fear 2 years back. Because anybody could just pull out anything from their pocket and just shoot you. That's what happened 2 years back in our own city. But this was not like that. This is far more greater fear prevalent. So this is the important principle of material life. There are two most important principles in this world. The principle of fear is the most important principle which predominates all human psychic activity. That's the most important principle. Everything practically is governed by fear. You ask anybody in this world, do you have any fears? Everyone will say yes. Maybe you have different types of fears. Somebody have a simple fear like my child may fail in 10th standard exam. What if he fails in his 12th standard exam? It may be a very big fear for a mother. What if my child fails in KG class? All sorts of fears are there. How many times you get people in the consulting room who have had a brother-in-law who had a headache and found to have a tumor. Somebody had a little chest pain and then found to be a heart attack. Somebody had a small node here and turned out to be cancer. The moment your relatives hear this, you keep feeling all your neck. Do I also have a gland here? And you find something here and you go to the doctor. I said, doctor, look at this. What is this? This has been there for a while. What is this? You take a biopsy, do something. Fear. So much fear. The moment you hear something happened to your close one, you may realize my pain is my abdomen is paining. That person had abdominal pain, it turned out to be liver carcinoma. Maybe I also need to check out, get a sonography done or something. So much fear is there. Fear of loss of health, loss of property, what of loss of life. Everyone is just so scared of losing life. So practically all human activity is governed by the principle of fear. And it is this principle of fear which gives rise to another principle which is equally important and more powerful if properly understood. The principle of shelter. Till we don't realize the principle of fear, there is no question of wanting to have shelter. So the average man on the street, whom we call as a materialist, whom we call as a non-devotee, you call it whatever name you want, but that person who is the average man on the road is not at all affected by even this fear. Because living is a life of, you have to be a little sort of, conscious and aware of the world situation to be fearful. You have to be a little aware, you have to be a little conscious. But somebody who's dunk down into a lifestyle of complete gross hedonistic sensuality and pleasures of the base type, he's so intoxicated by that he has even no fear. So he is living in avidya, and when you're in avidya, you have no fear because you just think everything is fine. You just work hard 5 days a week and go to the pub or discotheque and just drink a lot of wine and dance with naked women, and you feel life is fun, right? You're not really fearful. So that's the most common scenario in Kali Yuga. People have even become oblivious of the fearful nature of this world. They're just absolutely in the level of low class sensuality, where even if something horrible is happening, they still go on with their sense gratification. It is said, wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is the acknowledgement of fear. The first sign that a man has become wise, the beginning, the heralding of wisdom is by the fact that you become conscious of the fear factor. If you're not conscious of the fear factor, there is not going to be any rise of wisdom. The fear gives birth to wisdom. So that's where more or less all of us come into the picture. Or more or less the spiritualist. Maybe a Mayavadi, or maybe a Shakta, maybe a Vaishnav. That's not the discussion today. But the fact is, people who are fearful need to then they said, oh, okay, oh, life is horrible. Life is full of suffering, this dukkhalai. And they're acutely aware of the misery of their life. They're acutely aware of the suffering taking place at all fronts, maybe at the adhyatmika, maybe at the bhautika, maybe at the daivika, at whatever front, at whatever level, they suffer. Suffer so much. And then the thing they want is some shelter. So they may go to some spiritualist, some yogi, some baba, some spiritual book, something which can give some relief from that factor of fear. And if he's very fortunate, he may come to a Vaishnava. But the average man does not come to a Vaishnava. The average man will take shelter of something lesser than the highest principle. He will go to somebody else, a politician, a powerful educationist, a moneyed man, or a yogi, or someone who's a mystic, or somebody who's having a lot of, you know, followers and things like that. They will be attracted. So then they read books of knowledge and they feel, yes, they feel some sense of relief from there. But they don't experience actually fearlessness completely. There is ultimately, even the Prabhupada says that there's a fear that even if the pure unalloyed Mayavadi, there aren't any pure Mayavadis in this world anymore, more or less. There's nothing pure in this world, including Mayavadis. They're a big confused lot. They don't know what they're talking about. But even if there's a pure unalloyed Mayavadi, then even then he goes into the Brahma Jyoti. But the fear factor is still there that he, patanti adha, he can still fall down. He can still fall down. So Bhagavatam says that even there is no fear from the factor of again falling down to gross material life. And Prabhupada talks about this. He said, there have been so many Mayavadis who have told the world is an illusion, it's false, it's fearful, it's, we must achieve the state of desirelessness and all that, right? And they really become so detached from this world. And again, when they really find no rasa, they don't find any pleasure factor, then they really come bound to some ordinary mundane philanthropic activity, which they have already announced as being, you know, a state of illusion, right? So where is this factor of complete fearlessness come from? It only comes from the understanding of the factor of complete shelter. So, and these go hand in hand. The more we become as practicing devotees, as practicing sadhakas, the more we become aware of the factor of fear, the more we'll feel the need to take shelter. So some understanding of the world through news channels and newspapers, which we just hear here and there, you don't have to really spend hours in the news channel, but some awareness of the world may be important. Like Ishopanishad says, we must know avidya and vidya together. Only vidya, only transcendental knowledge may not be sufficient. You have to little bit of the touch of not reading paper every column and every, not like that. Not scrutinizing study, nana shastra vicharanaka nipunam, not like that. Not scrutinizing studying every newspaper, every magazine, every junk, not like that. But just awareness, not indulgence, but awareness of what's happening in the world is good. Something happened to somebody, you know, there was a car waiting there under a bridge. Man is sitting in the car, maybe, I don't know what he was doing, but whatever he was doing inside. And he feels, I'm in a car and I'm pretty safe here, is it not? Nothing is really happening, there's no fire around, there's no bomb blast, nothing. And up there on the bridge, there's a big, huge trailer which is there, carrying so many tires, huge tires are there, all bound together by chains, going from one place to another. Suddenly one tire sets loose. How it happened? We don't know. What happened? A tire is rolling down the trailer along the bridge, rolling down. Then it has just become so bouncy, it bounces off the railing of the bridge and exactly falls on the car. And the man is sitting there and he's just crushed under this car and is dead. A man just comes out of his car, a nice car, whatever nice car, today there are so many good cars. And the construction site, all bamboos and that green cloth and all that. And people are working upstairs and he just comes out of his car and a hammer falls on his head and he's dead. Somebody up there was hitting something, he lost the grip and fell on his head and he's dead. So this factor of fear is so important because anything really happens, really in Kali Yuga, anytime. And the next one could be us. Just because we have a bead bag in our hand, we are not spared from this. Because the tire doesn't look at the bead bag. The tire will look at you. And if it's supposed to target at you, then it will target, it will fall at you in any case, whether you have a bead bag or not, or a kanti or not, or a shikha or not. Material nature is impartial. Material nature is absolutely samadarshina. She doesn't care who you are. And you get hit nonetheless. Whatever you are, however great you think you are, we all are victims of this situation of this world, which is definitely very fearful. We could be walking down the road in monsoon. It is literally padam padam yat vipadam natesham. It's literally fear at every step because that could be a leptospira germ in that water. And if you happen to have a small 1 millimeter crack in your foot by a clipped nail or something like that, that is enough to allow the leptospira to enter into your skin, into your blood, and kill you in less than 24 hours. You get a fever in the morning, you're dead in the evening. This is not uncommon these days. You get a fever, you think it's a fever. Everyone gets a fever. I mean, I got a fever, so what's so... It's not news. I don't want to make it into a news. I just take a paracetamol and maybe go to sleep. And the moment you get up from sleep, you're vomiting blood. And your skin is oozing all blood. When you pass urine, you pass blood. The germ has destroyed your coagulation system. Your blood cannot clot anymore. And you come to the hospital and you are proclaimed dead. Right? So this is the situation of this world. It's a very, very fearful place. And Kali Yuga becomes even more fearful than ever before. As years roll by, the world situation, the way it is going, we can only imagine, we can only expect and anticipate that things will only become more and more and more fearful. And that's, to a practicing devotee, at an advantage. But nothing really is bad in this world. It's the way we look at it, is it not? There's a notice board in the Brahmacharya Ashram. It says the best blood group is B positive. Right? So you have A plus, A minus, AB, and O. But the best blood group is B positive. So you have to, when you see things in the positive manner, right? Then everything is nice, right? So when you see it positively, this fear factor helps devotees to run towards their shelter, right? So 6 days in a week, the grihastha works outside and he's battered by the world. He's kicked by Maya sufficiently. He's sufficiently frustrated, sufficiently fearful. He gets knocked off. And Sunday feast is his only shelter. He comes on Sunday and dances with the devotees, hears the katha, sees the deities, prays to them, eats prasadam. He feels, yes, I can survive in this world. So there is this temple or any temple of our, all our temples which His Divine Grace has given us are all these places. The world outside is a fear factor. And side by side, along with that, comes the shelter factor, which is all our beautiful temples, right? Where we all walk into, and once we come into this environment, what do we feel? It's not something theoretical. Everyone sitting here feels this, right? I mean, there's a lot of, and there was, you know, when this bomb blast took place 3 years back, we were all there. We were not there, but we were hearing it. And we were at a program which was taking place, and there were several senior devotees and many nice Vaishnavas were there, and there's a lot of nice katha going on. And we heard in the distant huge sound. It didn't look like an ordinary cracker, you know, in the air bursting like a rocket. It was 10 times louder than that. And because there was so much of, you know, spirituality in the atmosphere, we didn't really take heed of that. And within next 1 hour the news started, you know, flashing that there's something happening at Kambala Hill, Kama Hospital and things like that. So in the atmosphere of devotee's shelter, even though things are really happening bad around you, you feel, even if I die here, it's all right. Because there are devotees around and I have Mahamantra, And if I die in this place, my gati is fixed. I don't have to really worry because Krishna is there with me, right? So here in this element which is happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find a lot of things happening which are so much fear going on. And Krishna being the shelter factor, the one who gives shelter to his unalloyed devotees, is up to so much activity here. He's summoning Yogamaya and said, okay, now get into action. The seventh child of Devaki is in the womb. Come on, take it across. Take it to Mother Rohini's womb. And you know, he will be known as Rohini Nandan. And you, okay, you should be born as the daughter of Yashoda and Nanda. And that's what will make you famous. She'll be glorified further in the next few shlokas. And I, what am I going to do? Okay, I'm going to take birth as an eighth child because the womb is ready now. Everything is clear and pure. I will be born there and the next thing will happen thereafter. Right? So a lot of activity is going on behind the screen. Krishna is really up to something very, very mysterious and mystical happening here. And that's what really happens, you know, in this world also. That a lot of big revolutions take place and on the surface there's nothing really happening. But underneath there's a lot of things happening. Prabhupada was just like that. When Prabhupada walked into New York, when nobody took heed, it's like this Krishna factor, you know, something's happening behind the screen, but nobody really knew. Prabhupada, the old man walking into New York and sitting, you know, with his cane in his hand. He's not news, nobody really notices him, and like that. And everyone is involved with New York and Manhattan and this and that, and everything is, life is going on wonderful for everybody. But there's a slow revolution taking place. Prabhupada is just behind the screen. The one man who's harboring Krishna in his heart is up to something, just like this. Hayagiri Prabhu comes in and says, oh, Swamiji, you know, you're from India? I said, oh, you're Swami from India. Oh, that's exciting, right? He said, you know, come to my classes Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 to 8:30 in the evening, close by. And he calls Keith Ham, who later become Kitananda Swami. And it goes on like that, right? Something very simple happening in a small, you know, Bowery, the small, insignificant place. Nobody really is bothered about. The people who are really the useless guys are staying there. They don't make news in any case. But right from there, something is simmering, something is seething there. And then, San Francisco, right? 1967. And then like that, and like that. In 3 years, 11 temples are ready. And before the world knows it, there are 108 of them. Before the world can see, oh, what's really happening? The world is changing. The Hare Krishna are taking over the world. So then they become so, it's like they're everywhere. Wherever you see them, they're Krishna's here, and every airport and every lane, they're all chanting and they're all shaven-headed people. So suddenly something is happening. Something like what is happening in this year. Suddenly Krishna manifests himself powerfully. Right? So tomorrow is Sita Thakurani's appearance day, who's also the shelter factor. When we say shelter, then actually the shelter factor comes from Krishna's feminine side more. Because that's natural. When somebody hits us, somebody's come to attack us, the word which comes from mouth is I, mother, ma. The first thing comes you remember is your mother, right? We don't say papa. We don't say daddy. We say I girl. You know? It's I. We remember our mother, right? So the shelter factor is our mother. When there was a thundering in the sky, and the fearful thundering in the sky, Krishna never ran to Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna is like a jivatma, typical jivatma, playing this role of ordinary boy, ordinary fearful child, runs in the lap of his mother, runs to Mother Yashoda. So the shelter factor is more prominently manifested, yes, in Krishna, but Krishna, of course, the absolute whole, and Radharani is a part of him. It is just one soul and two bodies, right? So they are Shakti, Shaktiman, Abheda, Tattva, right? So Srimati Radharani actually is the one who really gives shelter. Really gives one shelter. And when Krishna is on the lap of Yashoda Mai, then what really matters to him? Whatever is going on around is really, Krishna is completely fearless when he's in the lap of Mother Yashoda. And the child is fearless when in the lap of his mother. Right, so the shelter factor which Krishna talks about, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mukshmasucha. Don't fear. When he says that don't fear factor is actually manifested as Srimati Radharani or Sitarani or Lakshmi Devi or Mother Sita, or all the goddesses of fortune, this mother factor is the one which is the shelter factor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives shelter through his, and that shelter in practical terms means devotional service. So when we engage in devotional service, what we are actually doing is taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. So it is not a psychological feel factor only. Oh, mother, Srimati Radharani is my mother, she's my mother. So it is not just a psychological feel factor, it's a practical activity. That means that we have to engage husband in devotional service, which means Shravanam, it may mean Kirtanam, it may mean Vandanam, it may mean Archanam. People are, you know, making flower garlands behind. They're taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. We are speaking and hearing here. We are taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. Somebody is doing some preaching at, somebody is cooking there downstairs, prasadam for 9 o'clock. Well, so all of us who are taking shelter of devotional service as our shelter. So devotional service should be seen as shelter. It's not a chore, as we are told so many times. It's not a chore. It's not just an activity. When we take shelter of any of the 9 processes, actually, we are really taking shelter from the fear of this entire world. And therefore, we can sing the song with such clarity and understanding. Bhaja hu re mana, Shri Nanda Nandana, Abhaya Charanara Vindare. The son of Nanda Maharaj. That when we worship Krishna, the son of Nanda, then Abhaya Charanara Vindare. And that's what Lord Ram also said. The moment a devotee says 3 words only, the devotee out of fear of the world. Now Vibhishan was kicked out by Ravan in a very fearful situation. Suddenly his life changed. Of course, he must have anticipated this could happen any time, that his brother would kick him away. But suddenly from nowhere, as being the, you know, confidant of his brother, he was thrown away from his house, his family and his kingship. Everything was taken away from him, and he just abandoned the road suddenly. He just physically kicked, not just kicked in words, but physically kicked by his brother. Get out from this place. You're a traitor. So that fear factor was there. What did he do? He immediately took shelter of Sri Ram. So Ram expects only 3 words from us. That once we are fearful of this world, then we have to utter 3 words to get this complete sense of shelter. I am yours. These 3 words mean so much for the one who's listening. When Krishna hears these 3 words from any jivatma, that my dear Lord, I am yours, then his arms just go wide open. And he's just waiting in a beautiful embrace. Just welcome his fearful child back to his lotus feet. So that's all we need to do. That, and there is enough fear in the world to say these 3 words. There's enough fear Krishna has put. Krishna has sort of, you know, everything Krishna has done in this world with a purpose. But he's Jagat Pate. And he's a friend of all living entities. He's Dinabandhu Jagat Pate. He's Dinabandhu, friend of the fallen. So he has put enough fear in this world for us not to feel complacent. If there was no fear factor, we'd all feel very complacent. Everything is fine. Everything is great. Everything is very jolly, merry. Everything is going great. But he has put sufficient fear. There is death, there is disease, there is loss of life, there is enough things happening around which are sufficient enough, just enough. It's not so fearful that we just get paranoid. But then there's a lot of fear, then there's paranoia. And just you cannot think straight. And just so much fear is there. But there's just sufficient fear in this world to make us say these 3 beautiful, meaningful words to the Lord. I am yours. And Lord Ram says, Lord Krishna says, once you say these 3 things, then abhayam tasmad. I give that person this benediction of being completely fearless. Abhaya charanaravindare. So that comes up very graphically in the pastime of Mother Ladini. She was a very, very senior and dedicated disciple of His Divine Grace. And what she went through in life is something which we will probably never even see, and hopefully we don't see, because we won't be able to handle this. Now when she is in Liberia, and the type of fear which she was actually experiencing around, of a military coup, of people who are like 7 factions fighting for power of a small country called Liberia, a small country but important country, because it has got diamonds. And who doesn't want diamonds? Everyone wants diamonds, right? So they, you know, there's a fishing occupation is there. You know, go to the ocean and fish. So here the land is, you know, oozing out diamonds. So it's a very powerful, important country. Seven warlords fighting. And so much of warfare, gun shooting, so much of people getting beheaded. Every day you're hearing people dying. Literally just beheaded. Just walking down the street and somebody can just chop off your head. So many rebels. There's no food, starvation, disease, death, poverty, loneliness, fear, massacre. It's completely this horrible situation which you can even never imagine. And this great Vaishnavi writes a letter to her dear friend. I am not fearful of karmi demons or bloodshed. Now how can a person say this? How can you ever say that I am not fearful? Because you know, you're just walking down the road. She was doing food distribution and book distribution, prasad which she was getting from, you know, the warlords and all that. She was doing a lot of book distribution, food distribution. And then walking down the road, literally you can hear bullets. And the devotees have become so expert, they would practically be able to tell which bullet swung through, you know, from the type of sound it would make around your ears. This type, you know, bullets are different types. I mean, I don't know them, but, you know, I'm sure there are different types of bullets. Big, small, and various gauge and whatever is there. And you could really tell what bullet passed by because they had heard so many bullets swinging from next to their ears. And they would still go on the roads and doing food distribution, prasad distribution. Now, what type of fearlessness is that? This is not talking about some antique story from the Srimad Bhagavatam in Satyuga. This has happened just 20, 30 years ago. And she writes in the same letter something very powerful, which we can all also register with, you know, great intensity. I am not scared of karmi demons or bloodshed. I am only scared of offending Vaishnavas. Very powerful, very meaningful, very profound. Somebody who's not fearing somebody just knocking off her head with a bullet, but fearing Vaishnava Aparad. Why? What is so fearful about Vaishnava Aparad? The moment you offend a Vaishnava, you lose this factor of shelter. You lose this shelter factor. Krishna simply just immediately just withdraws his shelter from you, withdraws his grace and mercy from you. And the moment that mercy is withdrawn, you are absolutely shelterless. You are exposed to anything which Maya may do to you. So for a devotee, he is not scared of material life in one sense. For average devotee like us, we should be scared of material life. But there should be even more fear than material life, more fear of loss of, you know, near and dear, my father, my mother, my wife, my children may die. That is a lot of fear. But the Shastra wants us to entertain in our hearts a greater fear for offending Vaishnavas. And the moment we have this, we are always on our toes. We will chant Hare Krishna, we'll take shelter of Krishna's devotees, we'll befriend them, love them, serve them, embrace them, make them our best comrades in life. And we know that they are only shelter. How can I even offend someone who's giving me shelter? If a devotee is giving me shelter, how can I offend my shelter? If somebody is giving you shelter, yes, it's an umbrella, but even if maybe you have a single two or three holes, but it's at least a good umbrella, you know. Maybe you have two, three holes, fine, but there's an umbrella there. There is some shelter here. Maybe a house, but maybe a leaky house, fine, but if there is some house, it is, I'm not exposed to the hailstorm outside. If there's a little leaky roof is there, fine. But at least it is a shelter for me. I cannot offend, yeah, this house is very leaky, man. I cannot say that. Because I'm so much 95% sheltered and 5% some, you know, something here and there. So the moment we come to the temple of the Lord, we bow down, and the first thing we do is bow down. That's a shelter. We bow down in the dust of the Vaishnavas. That means we are taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. Everything a devotee does is meaningful. Nothing is empty ritual. So, our eternal father and mother, Krishna and Srimati Radharani, have given us this complete shelter. So for a devotee, there is actually, in one sense, when he takes full shelter of Krishna, there is nothing to fear. He just fears one thing: I should never forget Krishna. That's his greatest fear. More than anything, I should never forget Krishna. Therefore, devotees asked, Dhruva Maharaj asked from Kuberji and so many Vaishnavas in Mahaprakash Leela, they asked, my dear Mahamudari Gupta, I asked this from Mahapuru Chaitanya, my dear Lord, bless me that I don't ever forget you. Because in remembrance of Krishna, that's our eternal motto. Satatam smartavya Vishnu, vismartavya na jatuchit, sarva vidhi nished asyur, ekayore vakinkaraha. That all rules and so many regulations of this and that and this and that which you all follow, the basic guideline why we follow all that is to follow this one supreme dominating principle, which is that we will never forget Krishna and we will always remember Sri Krishna, the most beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj. And because of this factor, as soon as Krishna is born, so many demons are coming into Vrindavan every day. We have one terrorist coming 3 years back and we got so scared. But we have a demon practically every day walking into Vrindavan. Every day there's a Bakasur, every day there's a Arisasur, every day there's a Trinavarta. Every day. How do we ever live in a city like that where there's every day a whirlwind, every day a tsunami, every day an earthquake, and third day something else? How would we live there? You would run away from that place, is it not? I would run away to my hometown or wherever else I could go. I would not stay in a place like that, but every day there is. But nobody ran away from Vrindavan. They all stayed in Vrindavan. Nobody, we don't hear anyone saying that there are so many demons attacking Vrindavan. They said, let's get out of this place. They are all there in Braj. Why? Because who's there? The eternal shelter is there. And the Gopas are seeing Agasur, this. Which even fear factor of the demigods, when they see that, they get fearful. The Gopas is walking into Agasura's mouth. He's walking, striding into his mouth and said, even if he's a demon, so what, I mean, it's okay. Maybe he's a demon, so what? Because we have behind us Sri Krishna. He will save us. He saved us from all the other previous demons. He'll do the needful. Just walk into. So imagine that the exalted fearlessness state of the Gopas of Vrindavan. They're not muscle men, like they can really fight out anybody. They're not, karate, more that brown belt, black belt and all that. They are like skinny, simple, milk drinking brahmanas and gopas. They had no black belt, blue belt and all that. But their black belt was Krishna. the blackest son of Nanda Maharaj. He was their black belt. And Krishna would, when he was jumping off, from the Kadamba tree to take care of Kaliya, he did that. He just went up the Kadamba tree and then he just tightened his belt, his sash, and then jumped into Kaliyadaha and did the rest. Right? So, in this way, let us feel so grateful to His divine grace, to our spiritual masters and our parampara for giving us this factor of shelter. And we all feel so sheltered in Prabhupada's movement. We feel so sheltered in chanting the Maha Mantra, taking shelter of Krishna's devotees, taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us never leave this shelter, for that is our only hope. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Question.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very, very nice class. Actually, the point you mentioned about how if you are aware of the fear principle, then we are inspired to take shelter. Actually, that made so much sense. I had one small doubt. For a long time, I used to think that everybody in this material world is fearful. We can come to know that. And even Kamsa, if you see, the day before he died, how fearful he was. He, you know, so many things he was seeing, and the Krishna book describes in great detail.
Right.
So I was thinking even Kamsa was fearful of death. But we see that many modern day terrorists, they are not afraid of death in the sense, you know, they put on bombs on their own bodies and they go, and they are so fearless. So I was wondering how bizarre it is. How do they do it? Means how come they are not fearful? How do we understand this phenomenon?
If they don't do what they're supposed to do, that they are fear of the bosses who have trained them for terrorism. Right? Their bosses who train, not bosses, what are they called? You know, super terrorists or their tutors in terrorism. If they just don't do that, then they're dead immediately. So better I die doing something glorious at least, and I'll be in the papers at least. I'll make news, you know, at least I'll kill some big guy who's on the hit list. If I say no to my boss, then I die right now. Right? So it is this, it is not fearlessness. Fearlessness is a state which comes actually from knowledge. Only when you have knowledge you become fearless. And whatever else you do without knowledge is not fearless at all. It is in English there's a word called as foolhardiness. You heard of that word? The fool is called foolhardiness. I learned this word in school many years ago. An example was there is a book called Morals. He had a book called Morals, which is Morals. So, you know, somebody, the example was given that somebody is driving a cycle. You know, we are all children, so we are given examples of that type. Somebody is, you know, everyone likes to cycle, right? It's a nice sport for a child. But somebody is, you know, his hands are up and he's still cycling, right? So that's like, you know, excitement. So he said, this is not fearlessness, the book said. This is foolhardiness because, you know, you can drop, you can injure yourself, you can kill yourself, right? So releasing your hand while cycling, you know, you may think it is like great fun, but it is foolhardiness. So that is ignorance. So what we see in this world is not, it is not really fearlessness at all. It's actually ignorance. Ravana is seeing that all my children are dead, all my people are dead, everyone is just saying, no, Indra is saying, I will do it, you know, don't worry, I will. Everyone is dead, Baba. Before you, everyone who went was dead. You know, Krishna killed so many demons, you know, but still, Aditya Sufi, maybe Putana was killed, and maybe, you know, Bhagavad, maybe I'll, but you know, me, of course. So this is just craziness. If they were little wise, he said, oh God, you know, before me 10 guys have died from this small child, and what's hope I have that, you know, that I'll be the guy who will kill him, is logically, I will be also killed. Logic. And just 10 guys before me have been killed, and I have very poor chance. But they, like, you know, they rush into Krishna, and they just, like, rushing in the fire, you know, mouth of fire, you know, and then they're dead. All of them were dead like that. So they're all crazy guys. It's all craziness. This is nonsense. This is not fearlessness. This is absolute lowest level of avidya, which simulates fearlessness, which appears like fearlessness, but it is a gross ignorance. Sometimes something on extremes appears same. Like, you know, you say, like Duryodhana is there and Arjuna is there. They all appear same, but like they're wide different in their consciousness. So sometimes two things on the opposite side of the spectrum of anything may appear same. But they are very different things. One is fearlessness, apparent fearlessness brought about by gross ignorance. Another is fearlessness brought about by absolute knowledge of the highest degree. And both appears in behavior apparently the same. But they are very, very tangentially different things.
Hare Krishna. So in a devotee's life, this the negative factor, the fear factor, all the negative things, and then there is a positive factor, that is the shelter, devotional service. There is always a war going on continuously, and sometimes the fear factors is it overpowers, and then you are like paranoid. Okay, how will I take shelter now? At the same time, when you ignore the fear factor, there is a problem of complacency. Because you are complacent. So how do we balance these things? Like, We don't want to be complacent, but at the same time, we don't want to be so fearful that we are not able to take shelter.
The word which is used is healthy fear. You know, that's the word used. Fear, huh? But as you are saying, unhealthy fear manifests as paranoia. Huh? So in this world, we all trying to always take extremes, is it not? It's a human psychology that we always gravitate towards extremism. Is it not true? Huh? So like, you know, you have other atheistic people who just don't care about God and His laws, or fanatical followers of religion. Right? And they are the most, you know, they're the guys who are most powerful people in this world. They're gross materialists and fanatical followers. And very few will be like in between. So as I say, take the middle path. Take the golden mean. Huh? So yes, we would like to not get so much complacent on one side and get so much paranoia. I think if we are, I think it's a matter of association. That would be my way to answer your question. That is a matter of association, that if you are associating only with the fear factor alone, through whatever way, through news channels or people or our relatives or in our office or wherever we are, and we keep hearing, seeing, feeling, perceiving, essentially, you know, getting all the stimuli, which are just arousing our fear factor only. And if you're not nourishing your consciousness sufficiently with a positive input as well, it says Srimati Radharani, or the shelter factor, Radharani has got two important functions according to our acharyas. One is that she gives pleasure to Sri Krishna, and other factor is bhakta bhaktira poshana. She nourishes her devotees, right? So that if you are getting sufficient nourishment, so when you know you're a health professional, you understand that when you get enough nourishment, so when you see devotional service as nourishment, then the nourishment is sufficient enough to prevent ourselves from getting overwhelmed by that unhealthy fear. You counterbalance that by a healthy combination of hearing and really good, you know, sadhana, and giving yourself up to, you know, proper understanding and reading. Not for the matter of just reading as a ritual, but really, you know, taking shelter of these books, Prabhupada's words, and chanting not just for 16 rounds, but chanting with some more deeper an appreciation of what it means to chant. And really coming to a satsang program, not for just for coming because somebody invited us for a program. I'm going for because it's somebody's birthday, and Krishna, somebody's, you know, this and that, some satsang is there. I'm not just going there for attending, because I have to go there because I love this devotee. And I go there, I hear, I participate, and I really take shelter of that. Right? So when we do those things we're supposed to do as a devotee with proper understanding, then that probably is sufficient enough to not allow unhealthy fear to grip our consciousness. But we are not nourishing ourselves sufficiently with positive good association, and we are just getting bombarded too much by the other side, then there is a state of imbalance created in our consciousness, and it leads to paranoia and feeling of lack of shelter. So I think we just need to do what we need to do with proper understanding, and that is Prabhupada has given us enough. In one sense, this morning program which Prabhupada has given us, see, devotees, those who are the inmates here are so fortunate. Those who are living in this temple are so fortunate, or for the matter any ISKCON temple, that from 4:30 in the morning till 9 in the morning, for 4 hours, 4.5 hours, they have this complete shelter factor available. Shelter of Tulsi Maharani, shelter of Narasingha Dev, shelter of the deities, shelter of spiritual master through the Guru Puja. So many shelters at all level. And then shelter of 1.5 hours of chanting Hare Krishna. So much of shelter from morning to 4 hours. And then they go out with a sense of fearlessness to give shelter which they have received to others through book distribution, prasad distribution, preaching program, college program, these, that, whatever it is. Because they carry a shelter factor in their heart, they can afford to share it with others as well. So that's why the devotees are so empowered to give shelter of devotional service wherever they're going, because they're carrying that factor along. They're not Krishna, they're not God, but they carry that factor along with them. And who takes shelter of those devotees is taking shelter of Krishna, right? So, I think we just need to do those things with proper adherence, proper understanding, proper hearing, and this imbalance can be prevented. There you are.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very stimulating class, Prabhuji. We were talking about fear and shelter. There is one problem we face while preaching to people. The concept is, because people have been exposed so much to the negative side of religion, they consider religion as a opium of the masses. They think it is just a way that you people escape from reality. How can you counter this particular...
Prabhupada said, yes, we want to escape from this stupid reality. And the house is on fire and you are just, you know, taking shelter of something else. It is just wise to do that, is it not? It is just crazy to be living in a burning house. Samsara dava nadita loka means that the house is burning, everything around you is burning. Basically, it comes from your heart, davagni of the heart. Everything is burning around you and yes, you know, you think everything is fine. So who's crazy? The guy who runs out of the house screaming, yeah, help! Or the guy saying, yeah, it's not so bad. I have, you know, big tank upstairs in my loft. Enough water there to, you know, put it out. Is that the wise guy who just runs out yelling, yeah? So we do it like that. We just run out of the burning house and said, Krishna, save me. So we are like that. And there's nothing wrong in feeling like this. People are just not aware what is in store for them for the activities they perform. This lack of knowledge of dharma, lack of knowledge of papa and punya, they don't know what they're getting into. They don't want to take shelter of anything else. They take shelter of the bottle of alcohol every night they take. They take shelter of something. You know, who's wise, you know? The guy who just is so frustrated with his material life and he has to take 2 pegs every night just to forget everything and have a good sound sleep. Or the guy, you know, even if you read Srimad Bhagavatam and puts you to sleep, but at least you're reading Bhagavatam before you go to sleep. You're not reading taking a peg of wine. You're reading Bhagavatam and all. But at least you're trying to shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, even if it is for 5 minutes before you just knock off, you know. It's still Bhagavatam in your hand, not a glass of wine. So everyone needs to take shelter. They're also taking shelter of something. You ask them, what is your shelter? You know, they have some shelter, you know, some whatever. You know, some club and this, that, some whatever they may have. Some way to get intoxicated, to forget the world. And we also have our ways to, you know, sort of get rid of this world. Come to another world. This is another world. This one is another world. Right? It's a world of our own, right? We have a different, you know, we have different power structure here. In the president here and the temple commander here and service in charge, you know, counselors. We have different power structure. We don't have ministers, MLAs over us in one sense. In one sense, you know, we have to pay our taxes and all, that's fine. But we have a different power structure here, different hierarchy. And our supreme man is not, you know, the prime minister. The supreme man for us is one who's in the altar. So we have a different power hierarchy here. We have a different governing policies here. Right? The whole different world is one of the different world of its own. And it's a beautiful world. It's a beautiful world. Right? So we are going to our world and they're going to their world. So they have a choice. But we can tell them, just come and experience this once. Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling, right, on a Vyasa Puja offering, that if you saw devotees coming on Janmashtami day with sulken faces like this, you know, like, life is horrible, life is boring. They come out after 20 minutes, he used to count, right? He said, an average man comes down, enters Gopinath Mandir complex, you know, steps in, and by the time he finishes this circle and sees the deities and gets a shatari and gets prasad and gets and meets so many devotees, the moment he out is 20 minutes. When he goes out, he's like this. You know, before he's like this. So there was a dramatic change. He calculated. You know, you heard that, right? 2 crore minutes of conditioning of 40 years of life, and then 20 minutes of deconditioning, you know, happening. So what is this? So they experience a new world. They experience just a new world that people just actually are in ignorance. They don't know there is a positive option. Therefore, they say all these things. You know, it's like Prabhupada said, they're licking the bottle of honey from outside. They don't know what the taste of it is. The moment you step into Krishna conscious lifestyle, the moment you start chanting, eating some prasad, the moment they taste a bit of this small thing, it's such nectar, right? It just grips you. All of us experience, right? When we came to ISKCON first time, this is like a higher taste. Never felt this before. This is great, right? Krishna just catches hold of you. They need to just experience it for a while. So what we need to do is this much. Said, okay, you are happy in your life, whatever. Fine, don't preach to him. I said, just come. Come to Govinda's. Well, He will say no for that. Come to Govinda's. Just come up from Govinda's for a while. Take a little laddu from a smiling devotee there. His spiritual life has started. Even not taking shelter there, it is some sort of, you know, what they call a sukruti started off. And maybe, you know, a couple of sukrutis put together will lead to bhakti sukruti and he will start. So let us start, let them start somewhere small. Hare Krishna, I think it's getting late. Hari Bol. It's getting late, right? Getting really late. Proji, here's a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you said in your lecture that if you say those three words, I am yours to Krishna, Krishna opens up his arms and gives his mercy. But we see that in the lifestyle of Mirabai that she was a great devotee of Krishna and she was a queen and she left her palace and went on the streets chanting the name of Lord Krishna. And people even called her a mad woman. So, why did Krishna not give her the mercy if she was chanting and people called her a mad woman and she said, and Mirabai said that Mere to Girdhar Gopal Dusra na Koi, she loved so much. So, how can you explain this?
Yeah, that's the proof that Krishna has given shelter in fact. That means when you reject it from the material world, I mean, that is the proof that Krishna has given you shelter. So, yes, we will be labeled as madmen. Every devotee will vouch for this. Every brahmachari, all of us, when we became devotees, the world itself said just what they told Mirabai, they told all of us also. My parents told me, maybe your parents also told you the same, your relatives, ye pagal ho gaya hai. We were all saying the same thing. We were not saying in a poetic way or in a very devotional way like Mirabai. We were saying, Prabhupada, dusra na koi. You know, we were like that. We were saying, Mere to Prabhupada, dusra na koi. We were saying that in different ways, you know, at home. But then our parents said, ye to pagal ho gaya hai. Our friends said, ye to pagal ho gaya hai. So that's actually a proof. That the world rejects you. The world ridicules you because you're not part of them anymore. You don't fit in. You're a misfit. That's nice. That's all right with us. So it does not mean that Krishna has not given you shelter just because the world rejects you. Right? These are all external considerations. Krishna's shelter is something which you experience from within your heart. It's not whether the world approves your shelter or not. Most likely, as we know it from historically, logically, that the world will not really appreciate what you are doing in Krishna consciousness. Most of the time. Very rarely, people say, you are doing something really good. Please go ahead. The world rejects you, ridicules you, thinks you are crazy. But that's the beginning, right? We say, people first do that, then they become indifferent, second phase. And third phase, what happens is they follow you, right? So most of the time it is like that. Most of our brahmacharis, you know, they were rejected by their parents. These are crazy people. And now many of the brahmacharis have parents who are their godbrothers and godsisters. Now did this, and they've been around for 40 years or something. They've been around for maybe 10, 15, 20 years average. And there's a big change. The parents who are antagonistic, screaming, yelling, chastising, abusing them and everything in ISKCON, they now become, you know, godbrothers and godsisters. How does this happen? Right? So, yes, Krishna gives you shelter. But not in the way the world will see it like that. It's something which you feel in your heart. I think we will end here. It's pretty late. Thank you all for a patient hearing. Hare Krishna.